Good day, ladies and gents. You are listening to Recovery 101 Masterpiece Radio. This program is based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more so like having a coffee and chatting about various crap afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. That's right, folks. Another show is here brimming over with recovery. So remember, we used to suffer from insanity, but now we do so enjoy it. So please sit back, relax, partake, and thank you so much for your support, likes, and comments at recovery101.net. It's listeners like you that keep us in the garage and off the blues.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFA, or any of them guys.
Any of them. None of them.
Not a one. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
And even then sometimes.
Which you're going to find out shortly. Shelly's got a weird look looking at her coffee. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
What's wrong with the coffee, Shelly? You got a weird look. So I'm going to put a roofie in it?
I'm not sure that's Mexican cinnamon chocolate.
Uh-oh. What is it?
But it was one of the bottles that you bought, and I just grabbed it and opened it and...
Well, I thought that's what they all were.
Could be Brandy Kahlua cognac.
No.
That is not. Which case, welcome
to the. In which case, welcome to the Mark and the Newcomer Show.
What, yeah. Whatever it is, it's good. It's like got that Jack Daniels-y taste to it. You know, it's good.
Some flavors never go away, do they?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is, but it's good.
Yeah. All right, then we'll carry on.
Sweet,
dude,
sweet. So, now by the time this show goes up, this is going to be old news, but. Green Bay knocked the Dallas out of it, right?
They did.
In Dallas.
Thank God for that.
What a beautiful day.
In Dallas.
Great game.
So a few weeks ago, the two teams we were pretty sure were going to be in the Super Bowl, neither one of them.
No.
It's the old saying.
Well, one that had a very key injury. That
changed the whole thing. You know, their car broke down.
And then the other one, I know.
He will never get tired of that joke, ever.
I know.
I love it.
And then the one today was just, that was a great game between two teams that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even, it wasn't a blowout. I was like, 34-31 or something? It was.
Yep.
Yeah, so. Now, of course, by the time this show goes up, that'll be old news. Well, there'll be a Super Bowl champion. Maybe not.
There won't be a Super Bowl champion yet, but we'll know who's playing in it by then.
So now that everything's changed, Mark, what is your prediction now?
I think it's Green Bay and Pittsburgh. They look like the two best teams.
My buddy James is a happy guy right now, I can tell you.
What happened to the Patriots?
They're still in it.
Oh.
I just don't think they're one of the two best teams.
Okay, I'm sorry I asked the question because honestly, I don't have a vested interest in this. I don't even care.
Because the Bengals are out.
If the Bengals had a chance, I would be like, hey, what's going on? But the Bengals aren't in it, so
the Bengals
I don't
haven't had
says.
A chance in
the
years.
The Bengals and the Bears are right there.
In last place. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have to worry about my team. They're not. They're doing nothing. How's your day, Mark?
They were all able to keep their golf dates.
Yeah. How was your day?
My day was good. I had a day of doing some chores around the house, watching football, dinner at my sister's, and here I am.
Can't go wrong with that. How about you, Shelly?
I generally slobbed around. Skip church again, second week in a row.
You heathen!
I know. Well, when they,
I'm going to tell God.
What happens is the choir director decides she just has to go to Taiwan because somebody's offering her a trip and it's a music related thing. And
I would go to Taiwan too.
So she, whenever these little opportunities happen for her, like last year it was Italy. It was Greece.
What the hell? I'm in the wrong line of work.
Well, you're not a world-class choir director.
You have to get closer to God.
I'm world-class choir director. How do you know?
How my church, my little podunk church, managed to attract and hold on to a world-class choir director who gets invited by world-class symphonies to come and conduct their choirs during a symphony orchestra event is beyond me.
It's all political.
I have no idea how we got her.
It's beyond me how she conducts at all, because nobody looks at her the entire time.
Except for me.
She's like an aerobics instructor.
I think I might be the only person who looks at her, because she keeps sending me text messages when I was sick. I'd get texts from her. How are you feeling today? Do you think you might be able to come back? What did your doctor say?
Do you know what the difference between
maybe
her?
Maybe I'm her validation in that choir.
Do you know
what
the difference between this woman? People actually look at the aerobics instructor.
Yeah. I don't know. So every time the choir goes on hiatus because she's on a trip, I'm like, well, we're not singing this week, so do I really want to get up that early to hear the word of God? I'll just lay in bed and pray. Maybe God will let me off for the weekend.
I went out, had lunch, brunch with the kids and the grandson and my mother.
Okay.
That was good. Went out and got we have a thing going on with our washing machine. Went and got another washing machine that doesn't look like it's
any better.
It seems like we need to fix the other washing machine, because it's a way nicer washing machine than the one we got today.
I just had that last week.
Huh?
I just had my washing machine fixed last week.
We should do that.
You
yes.
must have caught it from me.
Yeah.
Did we pay for the spider-ridden lump of...
No.
Okay, good.
No.
It's worth every penny then.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it was free.
So should we just call the large item disposal people?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My12Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
Well, you know what that means.
What's that mean, Bruce?
Oh, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. That was a pretty good set of dudes right there.
I'm just trying to get over there without falling over.
Or tying your cord around the heater on the floor.
We need a larger studio. This studio.
I'll get right on that. Let me just knock that wall out.
Well, this studio is only like, I don't know. Well,
it's 10 by 12.
Probably in a couple months we can move to the summer studio.
3,000 square feet.
Yeah, when it warms up a little, we could move to the summer studio if you want. Although that would necessitate me moving all of my crafting crap.
Yes.
Which is not going to happen.
Well, I remember one of the problems.
Oh, air conditioning.
Out there is it, yeah, in the other studio.
It gets really hot.
Sort of the outdoor studio-esque thing is it was quite warm.
We can go back and forth every quarter.
We could.
Okay, well, we have, now that we've bantered some more, we have shout-outs to Alexandria, Susan, Randy, Mitch, Jane, Jack, Bill, Lee, Fran, Neil, Dan Stryker, and Sia Bonga.
Okay. Question. Who is Sia Bonga?
A new listener. And shout-out to that person.
Any idea where they're from?
No.
I wonder if it's our friend.
Cowabunga? Cowabunga's
well,
sister?
Well, it sounds...
What friend?
It sounds like it's not an American name.
No, and we there are two other names that I didn't put on there. There's like a what do you want to call it?
Like a surname or something?
Well, there's a surname, but then in between the two names, there's like a three-letter, like in Dutch names that are Vonder something or other. And
but Siabunga sounds quite possibly African continent.
Do you think it's our listener in Ghana?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering.
Or maybe it's India. Could be India.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places it could be. And yeah. It could be someone living in the United States that came from somewhere else.
Okay, so the job of Sia Bonga, if you're listening tonight, which I'm sure you are, your job is to comment on the next show that's posted.
And let us know
where you're from.
Yes.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Shout out.
Just gross data, like country, would be good. you're semaphoring each other.
Yes.
Yeah. We're communicating.
But we're communicating, waiting for the news.
This is out of Pensacola,
Florida.
Thank you. Florida, the home of...
The home of weird...
Christy Brinkley.
Crap.
Christine.
Uh-oh. Christy? Is Christy Brinkley back in the news again?
No.
The dog?
Christine. No.
That Christine wasn't Brinkley. Enjoying sex Christine with her
Brinkley.
Owner?
Christine Brinkley.
Okay, whatever.
Bradley Jean Hubbard, 23,
three names,
23 years old, was arrested after his roommate called authorities because she was pretty sure that good old Bradley was sexually assaulting their family dog, whose name is Baby Girl.
Ooh, that just, the name just creeped that out even more.
Yeah. Banging the baby girl.
The accuser told police that she saw Bradley take her dog to his bedroom at least 100 times. Why she didn't call before then, I don't know. And then finally, she did the whole peeking through the keyhole thing.
No.
And witnessed him sexually abusing the dog. And the reason why she finally spied on it is because she heard the dog cry out in pain.
Oh.
How does she know it's abuse?
Well, it's a dog. That's abuse.
You don't know.
You can send your mail to Mark.
Maybe the dog was digging it.
And this dog is actually a pit bull named Baby Girl. I saw a picture of the dog. It doesn't look much like a baby girl.
Well, it's a pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not supposed to.
Now, Bradley said that the dog was in heat, and that was why it was making those weird noises. But I'm
that's a justification if I ever heard it.
Yeah.
I had to help her out.
The dog was in heat.
Yes, I had to.
She was purring to go.
Hattie.
They took the dog to the vet for tests, who said that the dog did show signs of sexual abuse and said that the dog is very aggressive.
Yeah, well, what do you want?
I'm not sure that I'd want to have certain items hanging out around a pit bull that was aggressive.
You know, today I walk my dog, our new husky, walk him over to my mom's house. I pick up my truck, dog's riding, and put the window down a little.
Yeah.
Dog is totally digging, you know, the whole stick your head out the window thing.
Yep.
I look over, dog's like fully facing the wind, big grin.
Yep.
Red rocket.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my God, this dog is liking this ride a little too much. Yeah.
However, if you bring the dog in here right now and you blow in its face, it will get pissed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can blow in your face at 4 miles an hour and you're going to get upset. You can get 50 mile an hour wind in your face and
you love it.
Yeah. And it's like a sexual experience.
Yeah.
This next story is actually, I saw an article on the internet that was written by a doctor. It's an anonymous letter written to the American Medical Association is how this started. He became a doctor a few years ago and wanted to treat addicts in recovery, physically, you know, medication or whatever. He wanted to be on call in a hospital that treats addicts. He himself is not an addict. He just has personal experience with them and compassion for them. He wrote the letter after he had a patient that came to him who took a bandage off his arm and had gaping wounds on his arm where he had been injecting heroin and they had gotten infected. And he said, I know I have a problem, but I keep trying to get clean and I can't. It's really hard and he can't get enough help for this. He's, you know, indigent, doesn't have insurance or money or anything like that. I don't know if he's tried going to 12-step programs or not.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's kind of a free thing going around that you could probably get some action out of.
He went to the doctor.
Narcotics Anonymous.
Because he knows that there's a problem with this wound that he has. The doctor wants to treat him with a drug that was approved by the FDA in 2002 called buprenorphine, which is a treatment for heroin. Unlike... Methadone, thank you. Unlike methadone, it can be prescribed in a regular doctor's office. It doesn't require monitoring because it has an extremely low rate of abuse. It's almost impossible to abuse this thing.
And the issue is?
The issue is...
Yeah, I was going to say, so this is a story because...
The FDA, and I did not know that, but the FDA has rules now that limit the number of addicts that physicians can treat with this medication, caps the number of physicians who are allowed to have the medication, and restricts its usage to a certain number of times per year. However, they won't increase funding for more centers to release this medication. There's no, it's an arbitrary rule, and there's no reason why they have such a restriction on this, because they claim it's way safer than methadone, but they won't release it widespread. The doctor also has to take a 12-week course, which this doctor was totally willing to do.
No, that's not a bad idea for any drug.
On treating addicts. And he was totally willing to take the course. And his supervising physician told him, you shouldn't become certified because you don't want to attract those kind of patients to your practice.
Oh, ones who need me?
Yeah.
Perfect.
The risk of overdose with this newer drug is 1/4 that of the risk
challenge
of overdose
accepted
on methadone. I mean, it's ridiculous that they can't use a drug that's actually been proven safe, that does actually help reduce it, totally eliminates the withdrawal risks. That's what its greatest attraction, because heroin users that really want to get sober actually want this.
And I imagine they don't give a reason as to why they limit it.
I would imagine we should follow the money.
Oh.
That's my take on, when I read the article, my take on that is follow the money, because they're probably making a lot more money on addicts repeatedly going through the methadone clinics than they do on...
Of course.
You know,
methadone takes forever to kick.
If you gave a heroin addict buprenorphine, whatever this stuff is, and they didn't have the withdrawal symptoms, mm-hmm. so that they could get into a treatment or a 12-step recovery program or something like that, it would give them a head start. They wouldn't be going back and forth to the freaking methadone clinic.
For like a year.
And they would have a much better chance of getting off of it entirely. So, hello, there's got to be some money going on, money changing hands here.
There always is.
From my perspective. This story is out of Tampa.
Florida!
Thank you. A pit bull. We've got another pit bull story.
Oh, my God.
A pit bull named Scarface.
Are they going to hook him up with my baby girl?
Sent two people to the hospital, a 52-year-old woman and her 22-year-old son, who attacked them when they attempted to put a Christmas sweater on the dog.
Was it kind of late coming
was
out?
Was it an ugly news? Christmas sweater?
It was a really ugly Christmas sweater. Well, I'm assuming it was an ugly Christmas sweater, because what else would... Any sweater you put on a dog that's got a Christmas pattern on it is by definition ugly.
Yes.
My dog has a couple of them.
Three people. One person was not injured, but the woman and her son, daughter, was not injured. They all ran out in the yard to escape the dog, who went crazy when they tried to stick the sweater over the dog's head.
Have you ever been putting on a sweater before and, like, you get one arm in and you haven't gotten the other arm in yet, and you do that kind of – that you're kind of having a seizure trying to get the other arm
yes.
in? That's what the dog's feeling.
No, the dog is thinking, do not put a freaking sweater on me, woman.
Yeah, you're trying to put something over my head. I don't like it.
Yeah,
the dog has not been destroyed. The dog just had a fit. The police came, tased the dog, took the people off to the hospital. They were treated.
Tased the dog.
Yes, tased the dog.
Wow.
Well, they couldn't get in the house. The dog had the sweater like hanging off of him, and he's running around the house totally enraged. I'm sorry.
That's got to be something, because, you know, you tase a guy and it drops him fast. You know, dogs significantly, maybe, do they have a special taser for dogs? It's
no.
like not quite
no,
as
it's just
no.
a
hardcore.
Really well, the dog was a pit bull named Scarface, so I'm imagining maybe it's a big, you know. The picture that was attached to the story may or may not have been the dog, because it was just a picture of a pit bull, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But
did it have a scar on its face?
In the picture? No, actually, it didn't.
Probably
it's probably
the
not
dog.
The same dog. Stock photo. But I don't know why that story made me laugh so much. I just had this picture of this woman going, let's put his cute sweater on him and take a Christmas picture.
Yeah, yeah, not so much.
Say goodbye to Christmas.
Uh-oh.
And honestly, in this case, I have to side with the dog. I just do. Just on principle.
Bruce, make a note. Don't try to put an ugly Christmas sweater on Shelly next year.
Sweetie.
Yes.
The object that you are ashing into is your daughter's earring tray.
Oh.
She left it here the other day.
In your eyes, there's an ashtray right on your immediate left.
Yeah. I was thinking, I'm used to using the black ashtray, which is on the other side of the computer there. Okay. Well, fortunately,
it's a good ash.
All held together ash.
That's a good ash.
Probably get that out of there.
You got a nice ash, Bruce.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Something you want to tell me about, Mark?
Oh, he does.
I've been working hard on my ash.
I can see it from here.
Many years.
It's all that walking.
Yeah, really.
Walking the line.
Yes.
According to the next story is according to a paper from researchers at the Rand Corporation and the Wharton School of Pharmacology.
Wharton
School of Pharmacology, yes. After doing this was a 6-year study. They believe that the explosion in heroin overdoses, deaths, and addiction can be traced back exactly to the day that Purdue Pharmacy released the new formulation of OxyContin, which is almost impossible to abuse. It becomes inert or inactivated if it's crushed or cut or in any way other than just swallowed. And crushing it was the most popular way to abuse it because the high was like instantaneous. It was a big rush.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's like, so you swallow it and you swallow like three or four
Oxys
of them.
Don't work like that. I mean, Oxy is a time release. So when you take one,
break the clock.
In order to get really high on it, you've got to
break the clock.
You got to smash it.
Take multiple.
And if you take too many, because it's such a powerful painkiller, your chances of dying of an overdose are like, oh, maybe not this time, but next time for sure.
Well, that's why so many people were overdosing, right?
Well, that's the thing is that
it's like a huge killer.
Because they were crushing it up and doing stuff with it. When you take it as just a pill, the old formulation, when you just took it as a pill, it was a time-release painkiller that worked really well. It was the crushing that was the abuse thing, when they were crushing it up and smashing
them. Six times as much.
You'd blow out your liver and die.
Six times as much is taking effect at the same time.
You'd blow out your liver and die. I mean, you really couldn't do it. So when they changed the formulation...
Well, I bet you could.
When they changed the formula,
I'll bet there are people trying.
Yeah,
in 2007 they changed the formulation and pled guilty to misleading consumers about the risk of abuse associated with the drug. They paid $600 million in fines and reformulated the drug. So it won't work if you crush it. That month was when heroin overdoses and addiction began to rise. And if you look at a graph chart of like the numbers,
right,
the rise in heroin addiction and overdose deaths is like goes boom, like straight up.
Spike?
It just goes straight up in like late 2007.
Wow.
And stayed there. It tabled off and stayed there.
Okay. Wow.
What is going on out there? Can you please make them stop?
Stop.
There.
Well, that was definitive.
All done.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
And speaking of heroin overdose deaths, and remember we were talking a couple months ago about the rash of overdose deaths due to the mixture of fentanyl and carfentanil and stuff in the heroin?
Yes.
22-year-old Bruce Lamar Griggs.
Three names.
Of
Three
Akron, names. Ohio. His nickname is also The Benz. Faces up to 20 years...
I don't think that's from scuba diving either.
No.
Faces up to 20 years in prison. He will be sentenced on April 10th because he turned himself in and pled guilty to providing the heroin that caused all the overdose deaths in West Virginia, Kentucky, and parts of Ohio.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When we were reporting that there was like massive.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
He sold enough heroin that was contaminated to put out 10,000 doses of the stuff. And he, I guess his conscience just got to him and he...
Well, that'll thin the herd.
Yeah. He turned himself in.
I have a boozy news. I just heard it today.
What?
Tombstone, Arizona.
Okay.
So they're going to call it... The city council is going to vote on it. It'll already have been voted by the time the show goes up. It's Tombstone, Arizona, the town too tough to die. That's what it's always said.
Yeah.
It's going to be Tombstone, Arizona, Second Amendment City.
I'm good with that.
And they're all happy about it. They think it's and the mayor is like walking down the street. He's like, well, you'll notice at any given time there's plenty of guns. And he goes, they're not all prop guns here.
No, yeah, it's fairly not. I wouldn't say it's easy to get an open carry permit there, but it's not as.
Do we
tough
have the story about the
in some areas?
The cop from last week in Arizona.
What cop?
Cop was called out to got a report of a shooting. And was driving to the shooting, and there was a rollover accident on the highway. The cop stopped to help. Got ambushed. Guy shot him twice. Jumped on top of him and started banging his head against the concrete.
Oh, my gosh.
Guy pulled over. Got out of his car. Goes, you need help? Cop said, yes. Guy pulled his gun out and shot and killed the guy.
Wow.
The only thing that would have made that great is if he just got back in his car and left afterwards.
Yeah. He would have been the Cape Crusader.
Wow. You're welcome.
Is yeah. the cop okay?
Cop is expected to recover.
Wow.
Oh, thank goodness.
Shot twice and getting his head whacked off.
Yeah. The guy pulled over and goes, do you need help here? He goes, yes. Guy pulled his gun out, shot and killed the guy.
I would think that would kind of go without saying. There's got to be blood. The guy's been shot twice. Yeah. The other guy's wanging his head off the ground.
Yeah, but it's like, and now people are like, well, I think there needs to be an investigation into this guy. I'm like,
why?
As to what day he wants his parade?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What do you mean investigation?
Arizona has much different gun laws.
They're open carry.
Yeah, and when we went to Tombstone, there were lots of people that were carrying guns, and they weren't all the actors in
there
the show.
There were lots of shops that were selling
things
to carry your gun in.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stores had signs on them that say, if you're carrying, please conceal, or something like that.
Well, some of them would be like, you know, some stores were like, we appreciate if you don't bring your
weapon
and carry in here.
Yeah.
And what was the one guy, I asked a guy about it that was not in town. It was that little grocery store thing, like a 7-Eleven thing. And I said, you guys okay with conceal and carry here? He goes, I haven't been robbed in like 30 years.
No.
He says, nobody robs anybody here because they're going to get shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the mayor of the town in that video was saying that he's got no problem with it at all because a lot of people come up from Mexico, the cartels, drug cartels, a lot of the dealers and coyotes will come through and people can get robbed. I mean,
they're pretty close to the border.
Yeah. Tombstone's not too far from the border. Okay, Fran sent this story and we finally get to some stories that I didn't find. Okay. Tommy Barber, 55 years old, of North Carolina. He was jailed on misdemeanor theft. Deputies had to follow him away from the Flying J gas station in order to recover the stolen property, which was valued at a staggering $8.77. He's a long-haul trucker, and he decided that he just
needed
to get
5-hour energy drinks.
He just needed to get some snacks, and he didn't want to pay for them.
Okay.
He stole a bunch of cans of Beanie Weenies. And the headlines now are calling him the Beanie Weenie Bandit. For the rest of his life, he is going to be known as the Beanie Weenie Bandit.
Which, there's one letter that only makes it worse than that.
What?
If it was the Teeny Weenie Bandit.
Teeny Weenie
Bandit,
yes.
Teeny Weenie.
So the Beanie Weenie Bandit, when he was finally caught by police and was arrested, and then the stuff was returned to the store. When asked why he felt the need to steal this stuff. I mean, and it wasn't like he tried to hide it. He grabbed a bunch of cans and walked past the cashier who said, you need to pay for those. And he said, I don't think so.
Bubba.
And he got in his thing.
I don't think so, Bubba.
He said he just felt like letting out the thug in me.
Oh, yeah. Now you're the Beanie Weenie Bandit thug.
You're getting arrested for $8.77. I'm like, dude, either you've had way too many Red Bulls or there's something else going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, weirdness.
Because that's just bizarre. There's just no reason for that. And Fran sent this story in Clay County,
Florida.
Thank you. There was a case of mistaken identity when a mother went to pick up her daughter from jail after she'd bailed her out.
And got a pit bull named Baby Girl?
No.
Oh.
That
would have been good, though.
She saw
it full circle.
She saw a woman wearing her daughter's clothes.
Was it a sweater?
Waved her over.
Tried to put it on another dog?
No.
All right.
Stop trying to confuse the story. waved her over. The girl got into Mary Jo Purvis, is the woman, the mother in this story.
Oh.
Gave her daughter, Jessica Ann Davis, a hug and kiss, and then got her into the car, and then realized that the woman was not her daughter, even though she was wearing her clothes. This woman was Jessica Arnott. Both are Jessicas, but...
Was it Jessica Arnott?
Yeah, it was Jessica Arnott. She realized the mistake, apparently because they're both Jessicas, the sheriffs bailed out the wrong, released the wrong Jessica.
Oh.
Gave her the woman's clothes. She put them on. She left the jail. The part about this story that made me laugh was the woman, and I'm quoting her here, says, "Here I am having this girl in my car, and I didn't know her until I saw it on the news. This girl in my car trying to find my daughter, she had my daughter's knife on her, and she could have stabbed me." And I'm thinking, there's a reason why your daughter's in jail if she has a knife that is that recognizable.
Yeah.
You know, this is my daughter's sticker. I mean, like, does it have her name engraved on it or something?
Well, first of all, how well do you not know your daughter if she actually got in the car?
Right. Yes!
You hug and kiss her and don't realize it's not her.
This girl, but you recognize the knife.
This other Jessica was like, God, what a great town this is.
Yeah.
They released me. They gave me some clothes that were nicer than what I had.
Gave me a knife?
Some nice woman gave me a hug and picked
me
up.
A kiss and a ride.
And they released her from jail and gave her back her knife. There's all kinds
of
messed up going on in Florida, I'm telling you.
It's your personal property.
Yeah, they would give you back your knife.
She didn't recognize her daughter, but she recognized the knife.
Well, there is that.
It's a different type of relationship.
Mary Jo, you need to see an optometrist. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, everyone. It's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips. They've got regular chips. They've got medallions. They've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. Bit of every sale goes to sponsored people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
So we have a topic.
We do.
And that said topic is?
A design for living.
It's a design for living, which, how does the quote go?
That works. It's a design for living that really works.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did this come up?
I don't know. Just we were talking about in FA, they have a thing that's a step study. It's called an AWOL, which is a way of life.
Right.
And kind of along the same lines as a design for living that
yes.
works. We learn how to live our lives in this program.
Hopefully.
Which is different from learning how to go to, you know, four meetings a day for 25 years.
Well, and you know, then we did a show about that once before where, you know.
We've done a show about everything once before, so.
Yeah. You know, if you truly get back to living your life, you know, as a productive member of society, you're, you know, once you get a bunch of time, and it depends, because some people go to a zillion meetings till the day they die.
Yep.
And some people will end up going to less meetings. I think the thing is that you go to meetings. You know, I'm not saying there's a certain limit on how many meetings people need to go to, but you can't, you know, when you stop going is probably when you're in, you know, pretend, you know, it's almost like, yeah, well, I don't have a thing anymore.
Yeah.
and I have a disease anymore.
How many meetings do you go to a week, Bruce?
Huh?
How many meetings do you go to a week?
Two.
3 years ago, how many meetings did you go to a week?
How many?
How many did you go to like 3-4 years ago?
Probably three. Two or three.
And how many did you go to when you first came in?
270 meetings in my first 90 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So you tapered off your meetings because life got in the way?
Yeah, but you know what? Like, one of the meetings is simply, that one meeting is simply because it closed. There is a meeting that I wouldn't mind going to that you go to, and Shelley's wanted to go to it too, which is the Friday night meeting out at 667, which we weren't going to because it starts at 7. I didn't even get out of work till 7.
Right.
And so that, you know, that yeah. made that kind of difficult. But, I've been to a number of other meetings to go and to speak and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I certainly go to way less than I used to.
Do you find a change in your recovery, the quality of your recovery?
Not really. But like I said, I would make sure to keep the contact of going to some meetings because, and I know a few people, you being one, James, you know, my buddy James, I don't even know the last time he went to a meeting, but it's been a long time. And I always tell him, I'm like,
yeah,
he came
for Shelley's birthday.
Once in a while.
He came for your birthday to Thursday night.
Oh, that's right. But he missed the cake.
Yeah.
He did, but that's the first meeting in.
Yeah.
Probably since the last time she took a cake. Yeah.
Probably didn't feel like he needed a meeting, but he wanted to be there to be supportive.
What's the most meetings you ever did, Shelley? Like in a week?
Well, there was one week when I went to like 20 meetings, but that
was
because
it was
there was a Thanksgiving marathon going on. I don't know, my first 3 years, I went to minimum 5, usually 6. I usually got one day off. My sponsor let me have one day off for good behavior. I mean, and I did that for years. Until I finally was like, you know, I was working more hours. I joined the choir. Other stuff was going on. I was like, you know, maybe I could go to a few fewer meetings, just a couple.
Well, and I have to say, when I did, you know, 200 and something meetings in my first 90 days, I was living on the roof of the Alano Club. I had a lot of free time.
And there was coffee and
yeah, and cookies. You know, once, you know, when people are new and they come in and like, they go to a recovery, like there's a lot of people that'll be in a recovery facility that'll do multiple meetings a day.
Yeah.
And then they get out of the recovery facility, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, I got to go back to work. So they almost immediately cut down from 2 or 3 meetings a day to probably 1 a day if they're lucky. And then you know, they realize, hey, I never realized I have to take my kid to baseball practice. I didn't used to do that. Oh, my God, my kid's got baseball games, too? I didn't even know that. You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, 3 nights a week they've got, you know, family things or kid things or things that they need to do, and it cuts down. And I think that's why it's important that people go to a lot of meetings when they're new, because, you know, you want to build that foundation. You know, you want a good what do they say, making mortar without sand.
No, making bricks without mortar. Or building a wall without... Wait. Mortar is the stuff in between the bricks.
Concrete without sand.
Concrete without sand.
Something yes. like that. Whatever.
Yes. So, what would you tell a sponsee, Shelley? If, you know, your sponsor gave you a day off with good behavior, what do you tell sponsees about meetings?
Well, I don't say you have to go to 90 meetings in 90 days or whatever. I don't say anything like that. I encourage them to find a women's meeting because I went to one for several years.
I found one they wouldn't let me in.
Well, yeah, they're kind of pain in the butt about that.
They are.
Women. You know, I encourage them to find a women's meeting for at least a couple of years because it's one of the things that I've found that women in recovery need to relearn how to do is to relate to women on a level that doesn't involve competition.
That's what I was looking for.
Yep.
There was no competition there.
You know, because the manipulative parts of our personalities and stuff, a lot of it is based on, you know, getting what we want. And that means pushing other women down. And you need to unlearn that behavior.
What?
You're such an inappropriate asshole.
What?
You said pushing women down?
You made that gesture.
You understand had you not commented on it.
I know.
Yeah, no one would have known. So Shelly went there.
But it was just so rude.
Shelly went there.
He made a rude gesture. Anyway.
I did.
This
is not a rude gesture.
Other than.
Like keeping a lid on something.
You were such a liar, too. Inappropriate and a liar.
I didn't find it online at all.
Yeah, you know.
It's where my head went. I just didn't make any motions.
Yeah.
As to where the head
anyway,
went.
Anyway. And also, you know, get a couple of meetings where you have a commitment. I always stress getting a commitment. To me, it's not so much if your survival in sobriety depends on you absolutely having to go to that meeting or you're going to drink that day, mm-hmm. go to a meeting. But if that's the pattern, then we need to go back and work some other steps. Because we've missed something in mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Because we're the whole learning the you know the new design for living. If we're not implementing
it,
you know, you can go to all the meetings in the world, and eventually, you're going to take that first drink or that first drug.
So, what have you learned in recovery that you didn't know before?
That I didn't know before.
Yeah.
That I'm not the worst human being on the planet. That was a big lesson.
Cool.
I'm certainly not the best. But I don't know that anybody can claim that. Maybe the Dalai Lama. Or Mother Teresa.
There's also the thought of, you know, when we talk about design for living, you know, design for living is not just, it's not designed for sobriety.
No.
It's designed for living, of which sobriety is a big part of, because part of the design for living is, doing the things at home that you should be doing. Doing the things at work that you should be doing.
Yeah.
Taking care of the responsibilities that you should have been taking care of all these years. And sobriety is just a portion of your life as a whole. You know, I mean, it's an important part. It's the most important part, because without it, you won't have a life.
Exactly.
But it is only part of, you know, what becomes available to you. I mean, it used to be me. My entire life was going to my dealer's house and then hanging out in the bathroom somewhere. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly you get sober and you're like, oh, I need to work. I need to have an apartment. I need to have this. I'm going to get a girlfriend. I'm going to get a wife. Oh, I've got kids. Oh, I got dogs. You know, it's like, you know, the rest of life starts to catch up with you. And, you know, certainly you need the sobriety, but you need you need the design for living, you know, to cover everything.
Yeah. I learned that if you take responsibility for what you do, that there are people out there who actually, if they do something wrong, they apologize for it and try to make it right.
I know. Is that amazing?
I didn't know that. I thought you covered it up and tried to blame somebody else.
Clearly.
So I learned that in this program.
I think that only works in government. That whole...
covering it up, blaming someone else?
And blaming someone else. I think that only works in government. That doesn't work in real life.
Works in using life.
It
only for
to.
A little while.
It used to. I mean, we used to do that constantly.
I think
that's like the addict that helps you look for your dope.
Yeah.
You know,
there's $100 missing out of my wallet. I don't know what happened to it.
You know, that guy that just left a little while ago, he's probably the one that took it.
Yeah. You want me to go after him?
No, this hundred in my pocket, that's mine. I had that when I came here.
That's right.
I brought that to buy dope with.
That's right.
Buy dope with the guy's own money.
That's right.
God. My God.
It's 5 green 20s with Yeah. There's, oh, it is five green 20s. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, then I guess they're yours.
Yes. So, Mark, what do you tell guys? New guys.
I tell them it's important to get grounded in meetings. Get a commitment. And as life starts to improve, that it'd be a really good idea to get to three or four meetings a week.
Yes.
And, you know, because that's what works. I'll tell you, not going to meetings doesn't work. And I can speak on that.
Yes, you can.
So.
Well, it worked for a while.
Yeah, but it really doesn't work.
But
I mean,
it catches up.
But it's not. But it wasn't about getting loaded either.
Dude, I remember the very first time I saw you. I hadn't seen you in like forever, and I see you.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, how was it out there?" And you go, "Well, I didn't go out." And I go,
"Yeah."
You go, "But I'm feeling a little frazzled right now, and yeah, I knew where to go."
You know, all the old behaviors start coming back.
I knew where to go to not be frazzled.
And
now, Shelly, I didn't mean to shock you there. So, how many meetings would you go to if you could go to? Would you go to more? Would you go to less? Would you go to the same amount? What would you do?
If I could, and what I really want to do, I would probably add a couple. Both of the ones that I would like to add are at the 667.
I know Friday.
And yeah. Wednesday or Saturday morning?
Saturday, if I can get up that early.
The book study?
Or Tuesday.
Ah, the topic generator.
Yes, the topic generator. I wouldn't mind going to that one. So right now, I sometimes have been going pinging back and forth, and the last couple of weeks have sucked for meetings for me, though. I think I went to one in 2 weeks. But the month before that, I was pinging back and forth between, like, I'd go to Thursday every week, and then I'd either go to the Monday Women's or the Friday Dually, depending on which one my sponsor was at.
Yeah.
And the Dually meeting is always helpful for me because I walk out of there so full of gratitude, you can't believe it. Because as nuts as I am... Mm-hmm.
You're not as nuts as some of them?
Not as nuts as some of them. And it's not, it's not like one of those, dang, that person's messed up. Glad it sucks to be them. It's more like a feeling of, I feel bad for them, but at the same time, I also feel grateful that they're there and I'm rooting for them because these people are really crazy and spent a lot of years medicating their crazy with drugs and alcohol. And then they go into AA and they go into Dual Recovery Anonymous. And they have serious mental problems, you know, paranoid schizophrenia, multiple personalities, serious bipolar. I've got bipolar light.
You have bipolar light?
Yeah. Well, there are two different types of bipolar and there are two subsets within each type. And I am the lightest of the light type. It's highly unlikely that I'm suddenly going to.
So says you.
It's highly unlikely I'm going to suddenly burn my house down, jump into a car and go and try to work on an oil rig in Louisiana. It's just not going to happen.
Well, no, because Louisiana is a long drive.
Yeah, it's true. And I don't drive. But so I'm glad when I can go to that meeting. To me, I think when you're talking about a design for a living, I think that the program is kind of like Advil. You know, if you have chronic headaches,
it'll fuck up your liver and...
Yeah, exactly. If you have chronic headaches and you start taking Advil, the Advil relieves the symptom of the headache, but it does not address the underlying concern. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem with chronic drinking and using, you take the 12 steps to relieve the symptoms, and then you get to the underlying, the program helps you get to the underlying cause so that the symptom doesn't become a problem again. So if you stop taking the steps, mm-hmm, you're going to get the chronic drinking and using again. If I stop taking my Advil, I'm going to get the chronic headaches again.
So the steps are like penicillin. They kind of are a nice generic cure for everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, Shelley, what would your final words on the subject be?
take your medicine. I don't know. My final words on this subject. Go to Mark.
Mark, what are your final words on it?
I'm grateful that I get to live my life today. And it's something beyond what I ever thought it would be.
Good. Shelley.
And whatnot. I still haven't thought of anything.
Shelley has no final words.
You know.
She just wants to keep talking about it.
Yeah. I wasn't exactly to the point where I was done talking about it, but I guess I'm done talking about it, which is fine.
We'll do another show. You can talk about something else.
My final words would be, is this, it's a design for living that works.
Well, okay. Now that we ended on a high note.
Jelly?
What?
So there's a cool shirt company with less shirts than we used
to have. Fewer shirts than we had before. That would be Terminally Unique Apparel at terminallyuniqueapparel.com. You can go and order swag and do all kinds of fun stuff. So go there and check us out.
Yes. Now, those shirts, you can also find some of those shirts at one of our other sponsors, Mark.
Yeah, that would be my 12-step store, which is a store in West Hollywood, or my 12stepstore.com. You can go online and you can get all a plethora of recovery gifts and books and tchotchkes that are out there and available for the recovery world. So go check them out.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Go right through our site, as a matter of fact, at recovery101.net and click on the link to go through.
Shelley, we have friends back east and in the Inland Empire.
We do at 12stepgazette.com and step12magazine.com. You can go and read those publications and subscribe and read lots of great articles and whatnot. I love the word whatnot today, apparently.
Yes, and whatnot. Mark, people listen to the show?
Thanks.
All right, then.
However you listen to the show, we appreciate it. However you get it, find it. We ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net and become a member of Podomatic, because it'll direct you to our Podomatic site for now.
Yes.
Once you are a member, you can like shows and comment on shows and add us to your playlist. And on the right-hand side, the main page, a little ways down, you'll see
a
group of followers, and it'll say become a follower, and you click on that, and you do that. You can do that every time you go on the site and become a follower.
Yes, you can. If you're Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You will get the option to log in with Facebook. You can do that real easy. It's for free and for fun. If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with the people you hear about on the show, like Frantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, you can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link, and then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever, and we will do that for you for free and for fun. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. Oh, almost forgot. Did I say recovery101radio@gmail? Okay.
Sure.
Because that's where you send that other stuff to. You can also send boozy news there. And then that was that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley. Who's lead out music by?
Jam Alkers.
Jam Alkers. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Liars and beggars and bones. sinners and thieves, come gather round for your daily reprieve. All of us here are soaked in sin. Brothers and sisters, I call you my kin. We sang with the band as we shipped out to sea. We toasted the captain while sunk to our knees. We made it to shore by the skins of our necks. Share the scars we received from the wreck. Fathers repeated, the restless, the discontent and disheveled, the young heretics and the rousers of rebels. Now sing with me. Proud fight until my dying breath. Fight until my dying breath. See, I'll fight this proud fight until my dying breath.